This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 5B, page 1201. We're talking about the fourth creative hierarchy here in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. It's the nursery for the incarnating jivas, and some jivas went forth in the previous solar system and became men in that very material solar system. Probably they went forth because the third ray is always the first to spring into action, and it was the third group of jivas which primarily went forth, or at least those correlated with the third ray. And in this solar system, the great bulk of the jivas going forth from their monads of the same ray are the second ray group. And it carried in it the germs of the lives which achieved the human stage in another solar system. So they remained with the fourth creative hierarchy and had to do some work in this solar system, just as the third ray is kind of a hangover from the previous solar system and is the ray, the foundational ray, the primordial ray of our solar system. So these human jivas, or the jivas who achieved the human state in the previous solar system, had to come into this solar system as kind of the foundation of humanity. They were more advanced because they had worked in the human stage in the previous solar system. But they could not proceed beyond that human stage owing to the coming in of Pralaya. Well, you know, some of those apparently who did were members of the Black Lodge who tried to sustain their prerogatives. Their initiatory prerogatives, initiates of a kind from the previous solar system, trying to sustain their sort of third ray, first ray prerogatives in this solar system. And they are affected very much by egoism, leading to egotism. Egoism is the philosophical basis. It's based on misidentification, and egotism is the inflation of the importance of that with which we misidentify our true selves, the lower ego. So, looking further, the condition of the hierarchy is similar only on a cosmic scale to the condition of the seeds of human life held in a state of obscuration during an interchain period. Now, interchain. There is a parallel here. A parallel here regarding the lives which became human on the moon chain and went into a state of latency, not between solar systems, but between chains. And that's why I said, you know, did the lives of the previous solar system who had become human, did they come to the moon chain and were they thrust into Pralaya twice, as it were, once between solar systems and once between chains? When it comes to a being like the Buddha, it seemed that there are some strong references which suggest that he was certainly on the moon chain, and also as the seeds of the first solar system ripened in him, he was in the first solar system. And I came upon a very fine reference, but I'm afraid it's one of those RLs, you know, just recently, reference lost, or RB, reference buried, you know how it goes, reference RI, reference imagined, reference lost RL, reference imagined RI, a reference or invented, you know, RI, and reference B, reference buried. You know it's there, but you just can't find it, you know. maybe it's a lot like reference lost, but there is, I wonder, you know, do I dare go off on a wild goose chase here? I think there is something that might be worthwhile here. I'd go into the AAB extracts and I'd look up Buddha. Yes, previous solar system, first solar system proof. Goodness Lord, have I really found it? This type of triple avatar only makes its appearance under a peculiar series of cycles concerned with a group of monads who were the most progressed and advanced at the opening of the Mahabharata. That's it. Found it. Whatever page it's in Cosmic Fire. As yet, there are not many progressed enough to do this triple work, the Buddha and nine others only. Nine others being the only ones as yet remaining in touch with our particular planet in this particular manner. Now, I would just say, you know, that so much depends on the meaning of Mahamanvantara. Uh-huh. Okay, this is English US, and it just can't be I'm using British English. For good or for ill, okay, Maha Manvantara. So if the Maha Manvantara means the solar system, as it usually does, then we've got a pretty strong confirmation here that the Buddha was with a group of who were the most progressed and advanced at the opening of the Mahamanvantara, meaning where did they get that progression and advancement? It had to be in a previous solar system, clearly, right? Okay. Very interesting. So there, the condition of the hierarchy is similar to what? To the condition of the ensouled jivas who already had developed as man, only on a cosmic scale. Why cosmic? Because the monads are on the cosmic etheric plane. Yes, that is their location, so to speak, location. Only a cosmic, on a cosmic scale. The condition of the hierarchy, only on a cosmic scale, is similar to the seeds of human life held in the state of pralaya during an interchain period. Let's call the jivas are, in this sense, the, quote, seeds of human life. So you see, there is that parallel. There's so much similarity between the moon chain and the previous solar system. It's almost as if, I discussed this with my friend Philip, you know, these beings did show up in early Lemuria, but did they also show up on the moon chain? And did they, in a sense, import the conflict which occurred through a rebellion in the earlier solar system right onto the moon chain? And were they, in a sense, responsible for some of the moon chain failure? So many of the conditions which now exist go back a long way, and they are not actively remembered, but they are deep in the subconscious, which somehow accounts for how different groups of people, different monads, feel about each other. The three other hierarchies dealt with, the first, second, and third, were those who have in previous kalpas of logoic manifestation passed beyond the human stage altogether. So here is what we want to know. The first, second, and third had passed beyond, I think, the human stage while those who are now solar angels were in the human stage. So this is my guess, my estimation here, that the divine flames, the higher, greater builders, and the lesser builders, or the triads, were even in previous solar systems beyond the human stage altogether. Well, and we can say that the solar angels were men in the previous solar system and did not pass beyond that stage of being a man in that previous solar system, but had to go away, as it were, for training in order to do that, in order to do that. Okay, so let's go on. They are therefore the formless, they are therefore the formless group, as the remaining are the rupa groups, or those having forms. Now, by formless, they are still on the cosmic physical plane, though which is in its totality, from the cosmic perspective, a dual plane of form. As are, from the cosmic perspective, the cosmic astral plane and the cosmic mental plane, still planes of form, but from the perspective of dense form, but from the perspective of the dense form found in the cosmic physical body of the solar logos, cosmic physical body, let's see if that, okay, maybe there is no such thing, of the dense physical body of the solar logos, they are at least relatively formless. Okay, they are therefore the formless groups, the first, second, and third, and they do not descend out of the cosmic ethers, which are considered realms of no form when compared to dense form. But they still are form. As a matter of fact, the universe itself, in a certain sense, is really a great form in every level of its being compared to the utter formlessness of absoluteness. But those are ideas which have to be, you know, brooded upon for a long time before they yield anything of real meaning. The fourth grade of hierarchy, or the ninth, must ever be regarded in this solar system as occupying what might be considered the third place. So let's see how he calculates this. Let's look at the numbers here. There it is. Number 9 and 4, and again, over here, a very central position, you know, 4 from below, 4 from above. It is a pivotal position to link higher hierarchies with lower, and higher planes with lower, and higher kingdoms with lower. It's ruled by the sign Scorpio, interestingly enough, which speaks of the great struggles of the human race. And also in it, the possibility of the fall of that antique center of corruption, the moon, because the moon falls in Scorpio. And the key to illumination, Mercury, is very powerful in Scorpio as the hierarchical ruler, so the key of release is there. Yellow, the color of harmonization and of the fourth ray, and DK talks about autumn as the time of the coming of yellow and of the harmonizing of all different colors. It is the word. Man is the carrier of the word. And, well, his soul ray will be second, his personality ray 4. I often wonder and whether the monadic ray of the human creative hierarchy is not somehow the first, because it proceeds through destruction. There is such a close relationship between the fourth ray and the first ray. When harmony is achieved, death ensues. Harmony 4, death 1. The word made flesh, so it's a creative hierarchy indeed, through the power of the word. The word is the throat center in a sense, the throat center relates to the third aspect. It's going to create form. It's a form-creating center. But the great second ray word has to proceed through it. So through man comes the union of those hierarchies which represent the second aspect and those which represent the third aspect. And yet solar angels are found here on this level. Human beings are not really solar angels, but sometimes they seem to be the higher structure of the human being, namely on the egoic plane, on the higher mental plane, are sometimes called solar angels or sometimes angel of the presence. Really, the returning Nirvani is the true angel, but the structure which he has created by substanding the matter of the higher mental plane is sometimes called the solar angel. If you look at the context in which the word solar angel is used, you will see a variety of uses, and one of the uses is as if man is that, and as if the angel of the presence is that. Sometimes I think, lately, that the angel of the presence is, in a way, more the man than the solar angel is. But without the angel, without the solar angel, there would be no angel of the presence. So the angel of the presence is kind of an angelic structure which arises veiling the presence due to the building and sustaining power of this returning Nirvani we call the solar angel. We're really going to have to see this. We're going to have to see it directly. We're going to have to see how these beings work. We're going to have a direct sight, direct knowledge, clear vision. Reasoning will take us only so far. You know, reasoning in a way is like groping, and intuition is sight. But the thing is that the eyes are sharpened or even come to birth through the groping, first feeling, then sight. But if we don't feel our way at first, we can't see later. So the reasoning is like a feeling, mental groping towards the revelation of sight, of intuitive sight. And that really is the promised land, maybe the reason, like Moses, can never really enter the promised land. But it can certainly go up to the border, and that's what we're trying to achieve here. So it's really considered the third. First, the lives of the three persons of the Trinity. Okay, who are these? These are our cosmic logoi. I ought not to call them that. I ought not, because I don't want to. Make that mistake. They are called here the three logoi. Let's call them logoi, the three logoi subsidiary to the solar logos, expressing, though, his three aspects, Father, Son, and Son, and Holy Ghost, like Mercury, Holy Ghost. I said Mercury because HG came up, and that is the symbol for Mercury in chemistry. Second, the prototypes of man, of course, there's a hint, you know, and it takes me back to my quandary. The seven spirits before the throne of the solar logos, but note the term prototypes. Now, when we go back here to the treatise on cosmic fire, and we're, you know, approximately here at hierarchy number two, let's say we go to 1198 or something like that. No, that's not bad. The prototypes of the monads. Whoa, this is a problem. You know how I'm always going back and forth and trying to argue against myself. Are the planetary logoi really somehow the hierarchy, the hierarchies that are found on the second level of the cosmic physical plane? Because the members of the creative hierarchy too, are the, again, prototypes of the monads. And I've given various reasons as I've gone along as to why it is very unlikely that these hierarchies really are the collection of planetary logoi, because these hierarchies express, like, the mind nature of the solar logos, the mental vehicle, or they express the emotional nature of the solar logos, and it doesn't seem to me that we can necessarily divide planets in that way. I don't know more, but I would just say that it just seems like the kinds of lives we're talking about were present as great lives all during the time that these other hierarchies were passing beyond the human stage. So another reason. The creative hierarchies number 1, 2, and 3 were passing beyond the human okay, I'm going to make a another abbreviation here, HUMSTG, and that's going to be, as you can imagine, the human stage. And HUMST, the human state. HUMST, the human state. Okay, so these hierarchies were passing beyond the human stage during the last four, or during the, I think, first three solar systems. I think we just read that, basically, didn't we? Were those who have in previous kalpas of logoic manifestation. And, of course, are these mahakalpas? That's the question. I think so. Are these mahakalpas? Are these mahakalpas? Think so. Pass beyond the human stage altogether. But look, what I'm trying to say is that they were passing beyond the human stage in the first three solar systems altogether, but the planetary logoi, were never at the human stage when the solar logos began his series of incarnations. So, I assume that the planetary logoi are higher than the members of the first, second, and third creative hierarchies. And the focus would be on the creative hierarchy 2, and I think the planetary logoi are higher than they are, even though both the planetary logoi and logoi and the members of creative hierarchy 2 are called prototypes of the monads. Well, that's, you know, probably the best explanation that I can give for the moment. So man, the fourth creative hierarchy, must be regarded in this solar system at least as occupying what might be called as the third place. The three persons of the logoic trinity, really aspects of the solar logos, they are what we call the three above the seven. Kabbalistically arranged. Well, I think you can spell Kabbalah in so many different ways. I'm not sure of the distinctions. I know there are distinctions. Second, the prototypes of man, the seven spirits before the throne. Well, you know, as I said, prototypes of man, or one is the prototypes of the monads. Is there a distinction between the, quote, prototypes of man and the prototypes of the monads? Pretty close, I'd say. But we've gone into that whole idea about what kind of beings there could be who inform aggregate, who inform the chakras of a solar logos, or of a planetary logos. The chakras are not the planetary logos or the solar logos itself. They are an aspect of that logos, and every aspect or every emanation, every aspect or emanation is a being, but a lesser being than the being from which it emanated, emanated, or of which it is an aspect. So anyway, but I think this is a pretty good argument. I don't think that kelp is a go. I mean, the planetary logoi are now at a stage, my argument here. The planetary logoi are now at a stage which is many Maha Kalpas in advance of a master of the wisdom. And many Maha Kalpas ago, they were masters of the wisdom. Right. So, you know, not just a few Maha Kalpas ago, but many, and that's the important thing. I think we have that which will solve the issue. Notice this statement. Man is repeating his endeavor, and I suppose that's the planetary logos, which will bring him to a stage of consciousness achieved by a heavenly man in a much earlier Mahamanvantara, much earlier. Now, that this simply means, and I guess I would have saved myself a lot of agony and you a lot of questioning, this simply means that the planetary logoi cannot be the aggregate, the members of the of creative hierarchy two, because creative hierarchy two, because members of creative hierarchy two transcended the human stage during the past several solar systems. And that, you know, we've just seen that right up here, haven't we? The three other hierarchies dealt with, the first, second, and third, were those who have in previous kalpas of logoic manifestation passed beyond the human stage altogether. So they are related to our solar logos, and I'm just going to use that as a confirmatory reference. Okay, so note this, and here it is. And I'll put this in green, you know, just to make it distinct, even though it's a part of the text that we're using. And we'll make it smaller. Pass beyond the human stage altogether in previous kalpas. Okay. So this is the confirmation. And I suppose it should be down here. Okay. I'll make it right. Well, I think we can get the idea even if I leave it here. So basically, let me summarize this by saying, I will say this, that members of creative hierarchies 1, 2, and 3 are much closer to man than the planetary logoi are. Because the planetary logoi were as a master of wisdom, the planetary logoi were as a master of the wisdom is now many maha manvantaras ago. And here, how does it say? Yeah, much earlier Manvantara, much earlier Manvantara, as it is said. Much earlier Manvantara. But the members of creative hierarchies 1, 2, and 3 were, as man is now, relatively recently. And they passed beyond the human stage. They passed beyond the human stage during the recent incarnations of the Solar Logos in which they participated. Well, you know, maybe that will assuage my conflict or, you know, somehow ameliorate this conflict I've been having in my own mind about this, because, you know, when it says terms like prototypes of man and prototypes of the monad, and it says the same thing for the seven spirits before the throne and for the members of the second creative hierarchy, you know, you just can't avoid the similarity and considering what it might really mean. In a way, the planetary logoi are prototypes of man. We're always comparing the atom, the human atom, the planetary logoic atom, and the solar logoic atom. But the actual, and they may be in a way the generators of the monads, but somehow there is a being in whom these monads are aggregated. And this being seems to be the sponsoring entity for monads of certain types and certain rays. I'm talking about the seven great circles, and I'm talking about the beings who are the life and quality of those seven great circles, each of which contains billions of monads. Billions. All right. Why must we solve these things? Well, you know, we want to get a completed picture. So third, man is the lowest manifestation of the self-conscious spirit aspect, and he is not including other manifestations, other and higher manifestations. Because there are other lords who are lesser lords than the planetary logoi, but higher than man. There are globe lords, there are chain lords. There are some along the Davic line. They are self-conscious. So he's taken a big jump. He has not mentioned the solar logos, but has mentioned the three emanations of the solar logos called the three persons of the logoic trinity, the three persons. And then he's jumped to the seven spheres before the throne, which are separated by man many, many Mahamanvantaras ago. You know, I always want to remember that page, and I'm pretty good at remembering page numbers. But, and I'm going to make a great big note, and if I really can't remember that note, then there's something wrong with me. That's a big one, isn't it? All right, so there you go. Cosmic Fire, page 272. Has that impressed itself upon my mind, I wonder? That is the page where we learn of the many Mahamanvantara difference between the position of the present stage of evolution of the planetary logos and that of man. Now, our problem arises when DK begins using such words as Mahamanvantara to mean lesser cycles. So until we really understand the science of cycles by having all knowledge on the atmic plane, there are going to be errors. There's no question about it. But generally, when the term Mahamanvantara is used, we're talking about previous solar systems. So I just hope that I can remember that when I am tempted to think that planetary logoi somehow are members of the second creative hierarchy, second manifest creative hierarchy. Maybe later it'll just seem absurd. And that solar logoi are somehow members of the first manifested creative hierarchy. I'm pretty sure that that illusion or that mistake will be put to rest. So anyway, what we have here is a statement that man is the third. But the lowest, in a way, of the third. This needs to be carefully considered and has no reference to the form aspect, but solely to the nature of the lives expressing themselves through other lives, who are also self-conscious or fully intelligent. These, certain of the hierarchies, are not. And I suppose the lower two, the four wicks, and maybe the second part, the second and lowest part of creative hierarchy, five. Excuse me. So we're not talking about form, and notice the paradigm here is quite important. Notice the paradigm of lives expressing through lives. This is happening all the time, and there are some aggregations of monads on the very lowest level, and we human beings are expressing through them. We are also expressing through, in a way, those solar angelic monads who are generating a vehicle of expression for us. In a way, we are also expressing through much higher vehicles one day, the triadal vehicles, which I think may be generated by the triads just the way the monadic vehicles may be generated by the divine builders. I'm not sure that we generate our own vehicles. It always seems that the vehicles of man are generated by other creative hierarchies. You know, the lunar lords and the baskets of nourishment, they're generating vehicles. Solar angels are generating for us kind of a causal vehicle. The lower part of the solar angels are generating lower part of the fifth grade of hierarchy, generating personality the personality center, which unites the vehicles produced by the lunar lords. And, you know, where do the triadal vehicles come from? Don't other lives provide vehicles? So that's the question, you know, what really do the triads, the divine builders, do? Do they somehow build, or do they somehow substand? Yeah, I mean, that's my question. Do the divine builders and the triple flowers somehow substand substances, SBST, substand, our monadic and triadal vehicles, respectively, even as the solar angel substands our causal body or egoic lotus. Is that possible? Is that possible? Because after all, they are serving, you know, they're really much higher. Their monads, I think, are much higher, you know, maybe on the cosmic astral plane. And they are serving down here on the cosmic physical plane in a kind of a fall, a first fall onto the cosmic ethers. And are they generating vehicles out of those ethers, out of that elemental essence, or whatever kind of essence it's called on that high level? And are they, in a way, substanding the vehicles through which the human being expresses, the human monad expresses? Right. Okay. Page 1202, we are creeping forward. The four lower hierarchies are all concerned with manifestation in the three worlds or in the dense physical body of the solar logos. That means man, the solar angels, the lunar lords, and the baskets of nourishment. Hierarchies 4, 5, 6, and 7, they are those who can discard or pass through the etheric body of the solar logos and can take forms of either gaseous, liquid, or dense substance. The others cannot. They cannot fall into physical generation, so the others cannot fall into a, quote, second fall, into the cosmic physical body of the, into the dense physical body of the solar logos and planetary logos. But this is very interesting because it is telling us that the solar angels and the human monads can both take vehicles in a dense physical substance. Dense physical substance, DPS. Let's see what we got there. DPSB, okay, dense physical substance, okay, DPSB, dense physical substance, okay, in dense physical substance. They can both take vehicles in dense physical substance. Sometimes, so there's really, the human monads, we know, are somehow, human monads are taking lower permanent atoms, i.e. the members of the atomic triangle, ATRL. But even the solar angels do penetrate down into the etheric brain and even a dense physical brain in region of the pineal gland. So there's a big sacrifice here descending into density, into very compressed density, and we see in a way solar angels are ruled by Capricorn, which is the sign of greatest density, and which suggests a descent into density. Okay. Students must bear in mind, excuse me, lots of talking, you know. Students must bear in mind that from the point of view, standpoint of the Logos, the solar angels on the mental plane, the fifth subplane of the cosmic physical plane, are in physical incarnation. What kind of physicality? What kind of incarnation? Physical incarnation in the dense physical body of the solar Logos. And what is called the second fall applies to this, you know. Into the dense physical body of the solar Logos and even lower with the lower penetration of penetration of the spark of mind and the anchoring of the soul in the brain. The first fall has reference to taking of a form of cosmic etheric matter, such as the case with the heavenly men, the prototypes of the human jivas. Well, there we go again. There we go. I guess what I have to think about is high prototypes and prototypes which are part of the first prototype. You see why one can get a little confused. But I've just shown that that many Mahamanvantaras ago, the heavenly men were as the master is now, and that is not the case with the members of the second creative hierarchy. Only one Mahamanvantara ago, the solar angels were as, let's say, a fifth-degree initiate is now, or at least an initiate. And these other beings were just above, a little ways, just a little above the solar angels, were not as man is now, just a couple, three Mahamanvantaras ago. The word many doesn't mean couple or three. So therefore, they cannot have been as man is now during the past few incarnations of our solar Logos. At least that's my reasoning. Excuse me, until proven incorrect, which of course can happen all the time, and then your house of cards comes tumbling down and you have to rebuild, you know. But at least you're learning connections and relations and links, and even if you're building, well, not in some exquisite manner, at least you're building and you're learning something about the building trade. So we're building relations to create a vision which will one day approximate the truth. When vision becomes revelation, vision has approximated the truth. So the first fall has reference to the taking of a form of cosmic etheric matter, such as is the case with the heavenly men, and with the solar Logos too, the prototypes of the human jivas. And, you know, as I said before, that second creative hierarchy, they are the prototypes of the monads. Well, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, is it a duck, you know? But I've tried to reason this because some disturbing thought enters that there is not a real proportion between these statements. They are the source of monadic life, but they are not the monads. They are far higher, and they have their own monads too, don't they? They are a higher series of monads. They are not our monads. But what is far higher? Well, you know, one would like to be able to crack this code, and I think at least, if I can just trust in my own reasoning, that I have demonstrated that the planetary logoi were as masters are now many Mahamanvantaras ago. Okay. Prototypes of the human jivas, and, you know, you kind of wonder to what extent is the solar logos also a prototype of the human monad. Remember that the monad is that which finds its home within the sun. So in this latter case, where we have the focus on the cosmic ethers, the bodies used are called formless from our standpoint. You know, and what that means is that from a higher standpoint, they are very much form. And our vital body is animated by cosmic prana. We have Uranus, I think, quite connected with cosmic prana. And we remember that electricity is connected with cosmic prana. Uranus, the planet of electricity, is connected with cosmic prana. Remember how it was when we were looking at electricity, the seven types of cosmic force, then the various types of cosmic prana, probably measured out the way they are in the light of the soul. Different kinds of pranas exist for man, but those are systemic pranas. And then the actual fires of the solar logos. All of these three had to do with the types of cosmic electricity, cosmic energy, which were mentioned in relation to the types of force wielded by these hierarchies. In the case of ourselves and the remaining groups, the forms are composed of substance of the three lower planes, that which the logos does not regard as a principle, because such substance constitutes his dense physical body. Okay. And therefore, matter responding still to the vibration of the earlier system, and we would say responding still to the vibration of the third ray. This means that the four lower hierarchies are links between the life of the past and of the future. They are not the present, but I do want to say that, but what of the higher solar angels? Because we will learn much that is high and good about them. Of the lower members, of the lower members of the fifth creative hierarchy, I can understand this. So, links between the past and the future. Okay, you have to wonder just how advanced are the solar angels, the members of the fifth creative hierarchy, even the higher members. They had not finished their contacts with the active intelligent principle of the preceding Kalpa. And in this case, this term means Mahakalpa. And so must continue such contact in this. In other words, the solar angel still has much to learn and is a Manasa deva. So it's still the deva connected with Manas, of a higher form of Manas, but still Manas, and hence the third aspect in the previous solar system. They will work out of it in this system, and four will become the three, and they will then be the three higher arupa hierarchies of the next system. Well, four becoming the three, you kind of wonder, does this mean that the members of the higher part of the, of the fifth creative hierarchy will return whence they came? It seems to me that we're talking about man and the lunar lords and the baskets of nourishment. All others will have risen to the cosmic astral plane. But in that next solar system, how many planes will there be? Is there a possibility of nine planes? Perhaps? In any way, man will be on top. The hierarchy of human monads will be on top, and the hierarchy of solar angels, the fifth, will be will be focused on the cosmic astral plane, and the lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy, i.e. the human personality, will have become, will have merged with the human monads, I think. There seems to be a higher part of the fifth creative hierarchy and a lower part. The higher part has no business down here in the dense physical body of the solar locus, except for sacrifice. Lords of loving sacrifice, hearts of fiery love, so many names. They're lords of sacrificial love, just as we are in a way as monads. But they are intermediate lords. They are intervening between our higher and lower natures. But they will have no need to do that. The crocodiles, in a way, are the... they are like higher aspects of the lunar lords. They are that which unites the lunar lords. They are the great lunar lord. They have not yet become human, but maybe they will. This is just, you know, either an intuition or a hunch or something, but they may rise to the human state. There are all kinds of lunar lords that are in process of rising, and they will first become animals, and then they will become men. But animals, I think, have in them the human monad. They are just the human monad in the inzoonated stage. And since these lunar lords are going to be merging with the animal kingdom, they too will perhaps join the human monads. They certainly are not higher than the human monads. That which provides the personality, the lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy, doesn't seem so solar to me. It seems quite lunar, I must say. Well, we're getting there. We are just about there. The lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy seems to me lunar and must rise to the status of the human kingdom and of the fourth creative hierarchy. All right, friends, this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 5B, page 1202. Oh, we're really making progress here. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 6A, page 1202. All right, I realize I've been, you know, really concentrating on this text quite extensively. But, you know, we have to proceed carefully to get the clear picture of the structure in which we are living. Using what resources we have, mental and intuitional, to arrive at that kind of realization. All right. Well, we'll see you soon. See you soon. Continuing. We have more on the fourth grade hierarchy, I think. Yep. We do. And hierarchy 5 is coming. That most mysterious hierarchy, which is dual in its nature, and which, in a way, has the human monad a bit in a sandwich, we might say. Higher and lower mind, kind of a mystery of the Sphinx, in a way, this particular hierarchy, even though Leo and Virgo are not immediately involved, and Capricorn is said to be the ruler. Capricorn, remember the best and the worst. Capricorn showing us the best with the upright pentagram and the worst with the inverted pentagram. But okay, more later. See you soon.